Kiwi.
And today we are getting wrecked with Blair Lee. Welcome, Blair.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm very excited. I obviously know all of you personally, but I am so excited that y'all started a podcast because it's so fun to listen to on my ride to work when I'm like, I'm either listening to heavy, heavy true crime or light stuff like this. So, you know, there's no in between.
No, never. But thank you. That's exciting to hear.
Yeah, for sure.
So we do know you. How do we know her, Haley?
So Blair and I are friends outside of podcast world. We also own a bookstore together, hey, which is kind of cool.
It is.
And we met as book club. We were book club friends first. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like 2016?
Yeah, a jillion years ago.
Like, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm so upset that I just realized that was 8 years ago.
I know. I know, because I was like, whoa, it's 2024. That was like, whoa. Well, so last night I was taking a bath. This story makes sense. And I was taking a bath, and there was, so we have these metal, or maybe tin, I really don't know what they are, cups that I use as like my shower cup that we got at like this old-fashioned saloon thing in Nashville years ago. And I noticed the year on it was 2013. And I was like, that was over 10 years ago. It just wigged me out for a second. And I just like stared at the cup. And I was like, I can remember being there and getting this cup. And it was over 10 years ago. It's just insane to me.
Yeah, I graduated from law school in 2013. And like my mind boggles that that was 10 years ago. Like law school was like, oh, I mean, I feel like I was just there. And it was 10 years ago.
Haley and I also went to the same law school, just not at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
That's because Blair is a baby.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, I mean, not that much of a baby. I graduated 5 years after you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't like, yeah, we did. We did not,
baby.
we did not cross paths until book club. And then I was like, oh, she went to the same law school as me. And she's also not practicing law like me. Great.
we're not going to name names of that school. Cause apparently their attrition is.
I do work for that school now, so I have to be.
Oh, we're definitely not going to be.
But I do. Yeah. I just always found it so interesting that me and Haley had so many little things in common and didn't cross paths till book club.
No. Okay. So I guess we found each other in book club, and Blair was very adamant. So we always call, like, we actually never read The Hating Game as a book club book, but it was the unofficial book club book, because Blair, I guess, were you the one who was like, you have to read this book?
Or was the first person was Lindsay.
That's right.
She was the first person to wreck it. And then I was just like, I haven't read romance in a while. And I read it, and then I wouldn't shut up about it. Like, I talked about it constantly.
This book club member, Lindsay, she recommended it. And we were all like, okay. And I was in the same position as Blair. Again, I hadn't really read romance like a lot. And I was like, I'm going to read this book. And then it, like, that's what opened up, like, the rabbit hole, the can of worms, the rip in the space-time continuum that I just was like.
It is, yeah.
And then it's like, no looking back.
No, because right after The Hating Game, I remember being like, I want to feel that thrill again. Because I read it in like 5 hours in the bathtub. And so I was like pruned and probably had, you know, a UTI. But but when I was done, I was like, I have to feel this thrill again. And I couldn't find anything. But then I found the Winston brothers. And so that was like my next detour. And then it
We
just,
literally had the same path because I did the
Yes.
exact same thing, except I didn't do the Winston brothers first.
You did the Knitting in the
I
City
did the Knitting in
series.
the series, Knitting in the City series
Yes.
first.
That's a
Yep.
hard series name to say,
It
but it
is.
is well known that Sally Thorne to Penny Reed pipeline
Right.
is a common theme.
It's because of
It
the
was.
quirkiness of it, I think. I think like because it was like it's romance, but also has a little bit of quirkiness in it, so it just like was easily, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. And then I read the, and then I just like mainlined it. I think I told you
Yeah.
I was like I would had recently had my child, my youngest, and that's what I would do. I would take a bath and I would just read like in the bathtub. And I was going through like maybe like a book a day. And I was like, it was like I went through, did the Hating Game, did the Knitting series, Knitting in the City. Oh, cannot say that. Did the rugby series. She has a rugby series. Did that one.
I didn't read that one.
Did all the like the
That's
Winston
okay.
brothers, and was just like, oh, what day is
I
it?
know.
What's next?
Yeah. And I remember being like, someone please rec me a fictional thriller because I have a sweet tooth and I need to calm down. But no, it just romance took over my life. So,
Yeah.
As
Yeah,
it
I think.
does.
As it does, and it's a good thing, you
Yeah, no regrets. No regrets here. And then
know?
I just have gotten more and more obscure and niche and specific with my romance.
Yes, you have. Yeah. I still feel like I'm very vanilla. Like, I will go outside of my comfort zone if someone is like, please, 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 please read it. But I will always come back to just like my contemporary vanilla romance. And I don't love it about myself. I'm just basic. And so
That's okay. I have a Stanley Cup too, Blair.
I do. Yep, it's somewhere. And mine has stickers all over it too. Yeah, I was just talking about that with someone the other day, and I'm like, most of my recs are going to be like contemporary romance. That's what I love. So that's just where I
Hey,
sit.
you
so
love
hear that,
what you
listeners.
love.
If you're looking for contemporary romance, this is the episode for
Yes,
Yes.
this is the one.
So I feel like we've tackled your gateway to romance.
Yes.
What? How do you feel about reading challenges?
They stress me out.
Me too.
Haley will know this just from owning a bookstore with me. Any task you give me stresses me out. Like, Haley's been trying to get me to take pictures of a stack of my to-be-read shelf for, I don't know, days. And it just, I don't know, the thought of it stresses me out. But I have the
Weeks.
picture. Weeks. I do have the picture and I'm going to send it to you because I just went and took
Yay.
it. And I was like, Haley's going to kill me if I don't send it to her today. She like texted me earlier and she was like, did you happen to see the picture? And I don't know if you've seen this meme, but it's like this little weenie dog on its owner's leg looking at it like, please don't be mad at me. I just sent
Yes.
that to her and I was like,
I got it. And I was like, what the heck is this? This isn't your picture of
It's
book.
not a TBR pile.
It's not a TBR pile, Blair.
No, but so yeah, so challenges, they stress me out because it's a task. But I like to find books like when, so the Heaving Bosoms podcast, they did the Reading Embrace. I would like to find things like that just barely made the cut of what you're asking for, which may be what we're doing today. Because I'm
Yes.
just like, all right, I'm gonna try to find a way to make this work. So yeah, so challenges in general are stressful, but I'm up to them.
Well,
Okay.
we always make things work. I love, and Kristen can attest, she's very, very good at it. Like, I will bend over backwards to make something fit. I will even fan fiction during an episode
That's right.
to make something fit. So I'm right there with
was
you.
very close to recommending a Draco Hermione fan fiction this episode.
Was it manacled? Is it Manacle?
No, but I have read that.
Okay.
Have you?
I have it. I have it. I haven't read it yet. I have it.
So much Draco and Hermione fanfiction is like my... I've read so much. Too much, actually.
I love that.
Listener, this is because Blair is a hardcore Slytherin. If we were going by the books that shall not be named and the houses.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
She is hard into that Slytherin life.
And I'm a big apologist. But not for J.K. Rowling, God no. For Slytherins. Yes,
sure. Yeah. Sure.
Not apologist of her, who you shall not be named. Just want to clarify. But no, the author Lynn Camden, I think. I don't know if y'all have had her on, but
we haven't yet, but she's on the list.
She gives me all the recs for Draco and Hermione fan fiction. So she's the one. She's the one you gotta get from.
All right.
I will come to you after I read Manacled if I'm jonesing for another sweet hit.
Please do.
Oh, I've seen so many good things about it, but it's just so long.
It's a time commitment for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good bath time read.
I feel like if you pull it up on your Kindle, you just never know. You know? I mean, Crescent City, I just got the new Crescent City. It's like, I don't know, 3.5 inches thick.
Pretty big. Yeah.
Big. You could.
I have to do audiobooks for those because they're so big, which is really detrimental to my experience because then I don't know how anything is spelled and I can't like go back and look things up. So I forget things a lot. Like just the other day, Melody, we were recording an episode with Melody and she was talking about something that happened in the first Crescent City book. And I was like, I know I read this book. I could not tell you what she was talking about.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I'm like that with books, not with TV shows. TV shows are burned in my brain for some reason, mm-hmm. but books, I do forget like some key points, which is why I reread a lot.
Mm.
Especially books I love. I'm like, cause there'll be like these little parts that I forgot about. And I'm like, oh my God, yeah. I love that line, you know?
Definitely.
I do also really like, as everyone knows, I also really like rereading. And I think that I like going like a couple years or something between, or if it's a book and then rereading it, because sometimes I'll remember the feeling, right, that like a certain mm-hmm. scene evoked, but I don't remember the exact like language of it. And so I get to like relive the language that I loved mm-hmm. and then I still get like the feeling, mm-hmm. you know, of a really, really good scene. And I love that.
Yep.
It's true.
Same.
Who would you say are your favorite diverse authors?
Oh, that's a good one. I just discovered Meryl Wisner. They wrote Cleat Cute. It's a...
Oh, is that the sapphic?
Yeah, it's a sapphic romance. And they're... Both characters are also neurodivergent. And so it's actually really good. It's a sports romance. They're soccer players. I'm pretty sure, I think one that was like diagnosed with ADHD in the book, and the other one, it never explicitly said, but it was very heavily, I guess, can't think of the word.
Implied
that the other character was on the spectrum. And it is such a sweet romance. I love it so much. And there was another one I read by them and I could not remember now what it's called. It's gonna drive me crazy. But I know the cover is two people sitting at a bar. I do know that. So I'm gonna try to find that. But their name is Meryl Wisner. I do believe they just came out as non-binary. I was trying to do my research on it because I know a lot of her characters, I feel like in a lot of her different books, are also neurodiverse. So I'm wondering if they are. I don't know. They've never said so in an interview or anything. I've kind of looked it up, but that's one. Definitely love them. They're kind of a new find. And
Mistakes were made.
Mistakes Were Made. That's the one. Yes. God, you found that so quickly.
She is incredible.
I just have it open.
Kristen is
like,
she's like
my gosh.
magic.
I also, there's another one, Kia Brown. She's fairly new. It's KEAH Brown. She wrote a YA romance called The Secret Summer Promise. She has cerebral palsy, and so does her main character. And I've never read a romance with a character who had cerebral palsy, and it was just like, one, very educational, and two, just like, it was just so nice to read a romance and it not, you know, it's like when you read stories about people with like disabilities and stuff, if you read a fiction or nonfiction, they're just so sad, you know, like they're talking about their, and it is sad, but this was so lively and fun and just like, and the author seems just like a super bright light. I love her. I've watched her interviews. She has two other books, but I don't think they fall in the romance category. This is her first. It was YA romance, and I do, and it's also sapphic. It's very, very good. So she was a new find for me. Trying to think who else. I will never not say Kimberly Lemming, obviously. Ever. And that is the one fantasy romance that I am into is her books, and because I do like fantasy romance, but I'm like, those are the main ones.
Sure. Well, they're written like a contemporary
That's
almost.
why. That's
The
why.
language is
And
very contemporary.
exactly. And so yes. And Kennedy Ryan is one of my favorites. One of my favorites.
She is
Yeah.
much, much loved on this podcast.
Yes, I love her. I read Long Shot when they first, like when that kind of came out, but my favorite book, and it was actually, I have it as one of the prompts, was Queen Move.
Was that
I
in that series?
no, it's in a
No.
different series. It's in, can't remember what it's called, but it has something to do with like royal something, because it's
Oh,
like
sure.
Queen Move
I don't
and then
remember
King
either.
something. But that's a second chance romance, and oh my God, like I inhaled it.
Sure.
So yeah. And then of course her book that came out last year, I think, Before I Let Go.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, Kennedy Ryan's also big, big fan.
Well, I guess since you mentioned that you're gonna, it was one of your recommendations, are
Yes.
you ready to get wrecked?
Yes, I did not have a book for every one of them.
No,
Oh,
you
that's
didn't.
fine.
No, that is
Okay.
absolutely fine. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay.
We had friend of the pod Becky on, and
Yes.
she did one, but she did a she did one prompt, but she did a bunch of books for just that one prompt, and that was great. So it is, we give those to you as suggestions, and it's however you want to roll those dice, however you want to bring them to us, we will love them.
Love it. Okay, good. Because I was
So which
like,
ones
man.
did you do?
Okay, so I did Second Chance.
Nice.
I did Friends to Lovers. I did Small Town.
Of
I
course you
did,
did.
of course. I did pain rep, or chronic illness
Okay.
and pain rep. Oh, and I read them wrong. And I thought it said character with a disability, not an author. And so I
Oh.
did. So I read, but I have a story for that. And
Yeah, it
then what
works.
was the one about vasectomies?
Hearts for vasectomies.
Heart got one. And it was
Nice.
something I randomly read. And I was like, oh my God, it has the word. So I had to go back and find
It.
it.
Nice. All right, so I guess let's wreck us. Give us all your
Yeah.
recommendations.
So, okay. The Chronic Illness and Pain Representation for a book. So I read this book in 2020 during stay-at-home order, and I was obsessed with it. It's called Love Lettering by Kate Claiborne.
Yes.
Okay. The main character, and I can't remember if it says exactly like what she has, but it's very similar to vaginismus, which is something that I have. And so just to have that like representation where it's like their first encounter, their first sex scene, he was so like gentle and easy with her because of her vaginal pain, you know, and they just actually like went through that scene without it being like, you know, rip off clothes, have sex. It was very much
Yeah.
like catering to her pain tolerance and stuff. And I was just like, this is like one of the most intimate sex scenes I've ever read. I loved it so much.
I need to read that. It has been on my TBR
Oh, it's so good.
forever.
I
And
mean,
I
4 years
can be
later, and I'm still
distracted by
repping it.
aliens.
Here we go. Full disclosure. I completely forgot about the pain rep, but I can tell you that book is beautiful. It's so good.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's like because Kate Claiborne also, like, the romance is the central part of it, but the lettering, like, the main character does lettering and stuff. Like, the way she, like, weaves that into the story, it's just so good. Like,
Yes.
it made me interested in lettering, and I've never been interested in that in my life. So it was, and I just loved it so much.
Oh my God. The thing that I remember the most about that book is that she does like custom planners for people. When I tell you it's everything I've ever wanted.
I know. It's like she has the perfect job, first of all. And then like, because the whole premise is like she writes this like secret message in some of her lettering, and she like the clients are never supposed to see it, never supposed to find it. She just does it for herself, and she did it in like these wedding invitations. And then a year later, the groom from that wedding, who I think like didn't go through with it, I guess the wedding,
Yeah, the wedding didn't happen.
comes to her and is like, "What does this message mean?" And she's like, "No one was supposed to find that message." And that is the love interest is that guy. It is so
Oh, that's
good. It's
awesome.
so good. So that is one recommendation that I was like, I know it's been years since I read it, but I will always rec that book. And then there's a book by Christina C. Jones. She's new to me. It's a series called the Wright Brothers series, and I've only read the first book in it. And it's called Getting Schooled. And
Sounds familiar.
it's so good. It is about a teaching assistant, like the main character, she's a teaching assistant, reads this like paper, and it makes her feel like all the feels. And so she wants to find like the student who wrote it. And he is this ex-military, real charming, but like kind of a jerk. And I'm not super big into military romance or military, but it doesn't really focus on that. The reason that it's like kind of focused on the fact that he was ex-military is because he has a prosthetic leg, and that is a big part of his story, of his like growth throughout the book. But it's enemies to lovers. They work together, and they literally just they don't want to like each other. They don't want to try to like each other, but their sexual chemistry is just too steamy. They're wonderful. I really, really enjoy it. She is a new to me author. Like I read that and I'm like, I kind of want to read the rest of her series now. But there is content warning. There's a parent death in it, and then of course like his kind of trauma of losing his limb is also would be probably some potential trigger warnings for people. But love, love that book. Okay. So I have those. And then, okay, small town romance. There is this book called In a Jam by Kate Canterbury. Have y'all read this book?
Kristen
I
has.
No, no, I've been wrecked this book so many times and I feel terrible. I've never actually read it.
Okay, I got it from the library and then again kept getting distracted by aliens and then it went back and I need to get it because I was like, yes. Oh, this sounds so good. And I've heard it, like so many people have recommended it, that it's fantastic.
Yes, pod friend Becky recommended it to me. Okay, so she recommended it to me. And I read it in like a night. It was so good. And honestly, I don't know if you're the type. I know some people hate kids and romance. I don't mind them. I like kids and romance. But this kid is so funny. She has a sailor mouth. Like she's like six and cusses like a sailor. And he is her guardian, not her father. He's like, I think it's his sister's kid. And he's raising her. It's so. It's so good.
I love a precocious child.
Oh, and she, 100% she is.
I just, like, if it's done well and the children are, like, actually, like, fully fleshed characters,
yes. Yeah.
Then I like it. I do not like the children just to be plot devices in there.
Big,
right. Right.
It gets
very important.
Annoying.
Yeah.
No, I think we mentioned, we had like on a previous episode where I read a book where the child was basically there as a plot device to like, let's see how much trauma we can like subject this child to.
Oh,
to
no.
Let me like bring these two characters together.
That's, I was
like,
awful.
Like, he gets almost hit by a bus. Okay. Gets all
the child.
The child gets almost hit by a bus, just so that
it like, was a lot.
They can prove their love for each other. It was a lot.
It was a lot.
Still didn't mind him though, as a child, right. In a romance novel. And then I think I used to not like it as much when I was younger, but now that I do have kids, and if they're like well done, it just lends a little like extra, you know. To it, I'm just like, oh, that's hot. Like he'd be hot anyway, I'm sure. But then, like you throw in him, like dadding,
100%.
Oh yeah.
And I love he's dadding, but like he's not her dad, so he kind of got put into this role,
yeah.
And he didn't have the natural instincts, and yet. It's just, they're perfect because they kind of fight sometimes too. Instead of like discipline, he's just like arguing with her. And it's just like, it's perfect because it's like, this is realistic. You know, like he gets shoved into this situation. And it's also kind of would fall under second chance romance because he knew her in high school. They never dated in high school or anything. He was very much in a different crowd than her. I think he was kind of he's like this nerdy little guy. And she was just this rebellious teen living with her grandmother. And but still, I think it's kind of a second chance romance too. But I would definitely put it in small town, farm. You know, it's adorable. And she's the little kid's so cute with all the animals. Like she's obsessed with the animals. And it's... It's really, really good.
I'm just going to go on my Libby app.
Yes, right? Go back and get it. And it's like, yeah, the tension was good. It was a little bit of a slow burn, but it was worth it. It was worth it. Another small town rec I'm going to give, and I don't think this is necessarily, it is though, I would classify it as a romance novel. I don't think they are put in romance shelves, but Book Lovers by Emily Henry.
Yes.
I don't know if y'all read that, but that book was so romance coded. And it was just like the small town, the little bookstore. It was just too cute. But speaking of her, I will say her other book, the most recent one, The Happy Place, was my favorite by her.
Really? I haven't read it yet.
It's second chance romance. And I know I'm saying this right, a divorced couple. I don't think they're just split up. I think they are divorced. And it is so good. Like, I read it so quickly. So, yeah, that one as
Yeah.
well.
I mean,
That would
I
be.
pre-ordered it and I just have kept scrolling past it.
There are a few authors that, like, when they come out with something, I'm going to read it immediately. And she's one of
Yeah.
them. Taylor Jenkins Reid, Sally Thorne, Kennedy Ryan. Those are the ones that I'm just like, you put out something out, I'm going to read it immediately.
Yeah.
Alexandra Belfleur as well. I can't say her last name.
Oh, yeah, she's good.
I'll read it
She
the
did
second it
the
comes out.
Written in the Stars, right? Yes. Oh,
Yes.
that was so good.
Yes, she did. Her second one after that, Hang the Moon, was about the little brother of one of the girls from Written in the Stars.
Yes. Oh, I need to read that one.
It was good. I
Yeah.
liked that one better than Written in the Stars.
Really?
I
Me
did.
too. Okay. All right. Well, Me too. I liked Written in the
add
Stars.
that
I
to the
think
list.
one of the characters got on my nerves a little bit. I think that's why I liked Hang the Moon better. But there's a third one too. It's another, because it
There
was like,
is.
I can't remember what it's called, but I loved that one too. I just don't
I haven't
remember
read
it.
that one yet. I also don't remember what it's called. But I think it's like their friend. Like they have this little friend group and it's the sister, the brother, and the friend.
Okay. Yes.
Let's see. Count Your Lucky Stars. Sorry.
Yes. Sorry, guys. Yes, that's the one. And that one's really good too. So anything by them, I will read. And I don't think that falls, I mean, it could fall in my recs. I could probably make it work somewhere. Friends to lovers.
Oh, there you go. Friends to lovers.
There you go, guys. Speaking of Friends to Lover, another book I have to rec is a Friends to Lovers book, and it's called Imagine Me and You by Lynn Camden. And I love her books because her heroines are plus size heroines, and she writes these cozy, like low angst, sexy, like they're just the tension's there. From the get-go. And that one is about these two friends have been friends forever, and they're going to visit her family, and they have to pretend to be engaged. It's fake engagement. And it's her best friend, and she's talking him into doing it, and he acts like he's so, like, I don't want to do this, but he's been in love with her for forever. And it is so cute. There's a bathtub scene that is
Ooh.
wonderful. It's great. It's a great one. And she's also just she's just a good author. Her first book's called Set in Stone, and it's also I wouldn't say it's Friends to Lovers. Her friend set her up with someone in that one, but also just like a very cozy, like warm, happy book with low angst. Yes. So those are fantastic. Friends to lovers. Let's see, I had something else. Okay, this is an old book. We probably all read it, but I just want to rec it for the podcast for anybody who hasn't read it. I reread 99% Mine by Sally Thorne the other day, and that book is wonderful. And I think when I first read it, I compared it so heavily to The Hating Game that I liked it but didn't love it. And I just reread it and I'm like, this is a freaking great book. Like, and that would fall under Second Chance and Friends to Lovers.
I liked 99. I really liked 99% Mine, but I've only read it once. And I also think I compared it too heavily. So now you are making me want to go get it off my shelf and reread it because I did really like, I loved him,
Yes,
Tom.
Tom
Yeah.
Valeska.
Oh, I loved him. I loved her quirky friend. I loved the, the tarot card thing. I did want to like throttle her brother most of the time.
Absolutely.
Just
Yes. And he
throat
doesn't
punch
get
him.
better, in my opinion. Like, I
Okay.
read it thinking, like, maybe if I read it this time, I won't hate her brother so much. Because I remember Sally being like, oh, I loved her brother. And she wrote him. So I was like, but no, he's awful. So I'm sorry, Sally, you're wrong. He's
Yeah.
your character, but you're wrong. He's
Wrong.
awful. So, So I wanted to wreck that, even though it was written like or released in 2019. I was still like, whatever. It's a great book. People probably forgotten to pick it up if they have it. But I liked the intimacy of their friendship. That's why I love Friends to Lovers. I know a lot of people give Friends to Lovers like they kind of don't love it because they're just like, well, why have you just been friends this whole time? You know, kind of thing. I love Friends to Lovers because there's already that established, you know each other, you're connecting with each other. And there could be a million reasons why you're not together. Some may be stupid, whatever, but I just really like Friends to Lovers.
I don't have a problem necessarily with Friends to Lovers. I think where my thing comes in is I get really frustrated when it's like childhood friends to lovers, where it's like, or it's like they've known each other for a really long time, or like, and then one of them is like secretly pining for the other one. And then it's like 20 years later and they've always been friends and what, and I don't know. There's just something about it that like doesn't
You're
work
like,
for me. But
why?
like, if they meet like later and then sort of like become friends and then through that, then they're like, oh, well, is this something more? I find that more believable and I really like it. In fact, one of the books I have a recommendation for you is like that. And I was like, oh, this makes perfect sense. I love it. This is perfect. But I don't know. There's something about when they grow up together. But then if it's done well, like with
I
anything,
know.
I've read it before where I
Absolutely.
don't normally like it, and then I've read it and I was like, this makes perfect sense. I'm 100% with you. Let's do it. Yes.
Yeah. Queen Move is kind of like that by Kennedy Ryan. They grew up together, but something happened between their families where they didn't talk for years.
Okay.
And so it makes sense when you read it and you're like, oh,
Yeah.
okay, that's why. It's kind of a scandalous book, but it's really, really good, obviously. And that's, like I said earlier, one of my second chance romance recs. Second chance is actually probably my favorite trope.
Really?
Yes, I am also very problematic in that I love a love triangle. Give me all the love triangles. Love them. We'll eat them up.
Okay, here's the thing. I love a love triangle when it is, you don't know you're talking to the same person, love triangle. So really it's not a love triangle, but you're having those feelings. But I've fully bought into the why choose
There we go.
mentality. And so I'm like, is it a love triangle or can we just all be
I
together?
know. And see, because there is a line. Because there's some where you're like, y'all can just be together. But other ones, you're like, those two guys would never, or girls would never work together. You need to pick
Yeah.
one. And that's the ones I love. I want the angst
That's fair.
of leaving one of them in the dust. Okay. So I love a love triangle. And the thing is, I couldn't even give you a good rec because I can't remember the last one I've read because I usually just watch it in TV shows. Like TV shows, they're triangle, love triangles everywhere. But I'm always like, I need a good book where you don't know who this person's gonna pick in the end. Like you literally don't know the whole book. And then you're just like, oh, that gutted me, you know, or it made me super happy. I don't know. I'm a sucker for that. It's because I like to torture myself and I like to cry a lot.
Yeah,
So.
I do know like when you talk about your references, because sometimes you will specifically watch a show that you know will make you cry. Because we'll be talking and you're just like, I just needed to cry. So I watched this specific episode of this specific show just so I could like ball on my couch.
Yes.
And I
Yeah.
cannot
I
fathom that.
can't relate, Haley.
I cannot, like, I will specifically not, like, I will specifically sometimes avoid movies and
No,
things
not
because,
me.
like, I don't want to cry. And I am more, again, post kids. I don't know if it's hormonal. I don't know whatever. I don't know what's going to happen to you, Blair, because you're just going to be a blubbery mess all the time. Because like stuff that didn't faze me, like did not faze me. And now I'm just like tearing up all the time.
Haley, about Haley, we watched Criminal Minds, okay? And on Paramount Plus, the new season is on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
And they have ads. And they have this one Subaru ad where it's a dad and his deaf son are going hiking, okay? Uh-huh. And like, it's beautiful. And it makes me cry every single time it comes on.
I feel like I know what you're talking about. Because I feel like that the actors in that commercial are on The Last of Us zombie show on HBO.
Oh.
They may be. I have not seen that show.
I think it's the same little boy. And yeah, I will also watch things that make me cry, and purposefully so. I know exactly what episode of Grey's Anatomy to watch to like make me sob.
Most of them.
I'll purposefully... My husband never understood why I loved the show This Is Us. He was like, you cry every episode. I'm like, it's so good. It's like, it feels so therapeutic to just cry about something that's not my life.
We get that release, but it's somebody else's problems.
Yes.
See, I don't want it. I don't want it because I'm afraid. Here's my thing. I'm afraid if I do start crying, then I will not be able to stop because I do not do a good job differentiating between cathartic crying about somebody else's problems and then just unloading all my own stress and anxiety and all that stuff.
Let's be honest, I probably do that.
Yeah. And then I also have my kids that are like, why are you crying? Like, we were literally in the car this morning. And we started listening to the musical of Percy Jackson, The Lightning Thief. And like, we're listening through and it gets the one song.
There's a musical?
Yeah, there's a musical. It's really good. Where they're fighting the Minotaur and it's the scene and you hear his mom going, hey, you know, leave my son alone. And I'm just like, I would do that.
Oh my gosh.
I would fight a Minotaur for my kids.
And my kids are in the backseat like, what the hell? Like, I mean, they are 9 and they are 7, so they are not thinking what the hell, but like they are thinking what the hell. Yeah,
they're thinking going like, on front what's wrong with her?
And I'm just like, and it's not even like a set. It's literally like a 5-second blip in the song, and I'm just like, oh my god.
I understand. I do. And honestly, pregnancy has made my hormones even worse. Like, we watched an episode of Modern Family the other day. I just cried the whole episode. And Jacob was like, it's Modern Family. I'm like, just these small little parts where the family's so sweet to each other. And I'm just like sobbing over it.
It's just so good.
Yeah. And I want my books to make me feel that way. I want my books to make me sob.
And I do not. I want... to laugh.
I don't mind
if something tragic happens, and I will like have a moment, but like I don't want that to be the point. I want to cry if I have to from like being overwhelmed by I don't know the action or I don't know I just don't I just
I understand, like, Haley. I don't usually seek out a big cry, so
and
I get
it. It happens, but it's not something I'm going to stumble upon a sob.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I am not going to seek it out. It's going to spring up on me very unexpected from a high anxiety sword fight, save the world situation. Okay, that is when it's going to come up on me. And I'm going to be like, well, I don't know where this came from. I don't know why I'm crying.
And me, I'm like, I'm going to turn on the song Taylor Swift wrote to her mother when she had cancer just to cry. Like, you know, like,
oh,
that's
yeah.
me. That's me. Because I feel like crying. But yeah, I always tell Jacob, if a book has made me cry, I know it's a good book. Like, if you pulled any kind of emotion out of me like that, which right now, hormonal and pregnant, all of them are going to make me cry. So it does not mean anything about your book. It could be crap. I just cried because I'm hormonal. But before that, if it pulled a strong emotion like that out of me, it's a good book.
Pregnant Blair's Goodreads is just 5 stars. Everything is
Five
just
stars,
five
all
stars.
of them.
Like, it's just like, it's every single thing is like a 5 stars. 5 stars.
I love that.
I sobbed this entire book. And it's like a rom-com. With like nothing. No eggs. Nothing.
You're like, are you sure? Are you sure? Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, hold on. There was another hearts for vasectomies. Okay. It's not
Love a
even,
vasectomy
it
book.
was literally just a line, a throwaway line. So the girl who wrote In a Jam, Kate Canterbury, wrote another book called The Worst Guy. And they are, oh, I think she's a surgical intern. They're both in the medical field, surgery, whatever. And they have to work like conflict resolution together. And it's enemies to lovers for sure. It's really good. I wanted something medical, like I wanted a Grey's Anatomy type romance. Like I wanted some like screwing in the on-call room kind of stuff. Yes. But there's a line where she doesn't want kids, and he just is like, well, you don't want kids. I'm old. I'll get a vasectomy. So like I was like, first of all, what a king to just offer up a vasectomy,
Yes,
okay?
100%.
And but two, when I read that prompt, I was like, I just read a book recently and it talked about a vasectomy because I was so like, oh, because you don't, first of all, it's not in romances often that they talk
No.
about that. And second, it's never a guy going, I'll just get one, you know, no big deal.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, you're
And it
right.
reminds me of Michael Scott in The Office, where he just got one for
Oh,
Jan and then
absolutely.
snip, snap, snip, snap. That's my favorite.
That's literally what it is. And then like they just get to like stay in bed and play video games. At least that's how Jared's went. Great.
Well, I've told Jacob, I was like, for me, I'm like, it depends on who doesn't want the next kid. Like, if I don't want kids anymore, well, I'm infertile. I had to do IVF. So, like, it's really, you know, like, you know, whatever. But, you know, if I die and he wants to have a kid with someone, I'm not gonna make him get a vasectomy, but he's pretty down with one kid after this pregnancy. He's like, this was rough. I'm like, oh, was it?
Was it
Was
now?
it? Really
Tell
hard.
me about it.
Really
I'm
hard
like,
on him. Yeah.
He's like, I'm good with just one. I'm like, well, I'm glad.
Yeah.
Good. You weren't gonna have a choice.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I read that and I was like, I'm very excited to know that I just read a book that said vasectomy in it, and it was a romance, and it wasn't, you know, some nonfiction book or anything like that.
Oh, I
So,
love that.
but that is a good book. Y'all should read that, especially if you're like into that. I would love to read more medical, drama romances because I was just like, man, I like that.
You were a hardcore Grey's fan.
Oh yeah,
Like,
still am.
yeah. Is it still going on?
I was gonna say it's still going, I
It's
believe.
coming out March 14th, the new season. And I mean, excited about it, but I'm also excited because that means it's going to be here after the baby's born. And I don't know why that excites me so much. It's just, I finally have something that has like a set date that I'm like, the baby's going to be here for then. And it made me excited.
That
So,
is exciting.
anyway, March 14th is coming out. Any Grey's fans out there?
Baby's first
Grey's.
season of Grey's.
Right. Season 20. I know. Jacob is like, I'm not going to stand a chance having her like anything that I like because it's just going to be Taylor Swift, Grey's Anatomy, and just crying all the
Never know.
It's true.
You absolutely never know.
She's going to be like, Mom, no, I want to play with Dad's old Batman toys, which I'll be supportive of, but
Just
I
make
just
him
really
kiss.
just make him kiss. If we're gonna make you a romance lover, no matter what. But yeah, so that was a really good one. And then, oh, there was another one that I just wanted to talk about. I didn't think it fell under any of my prompts, but it
Give it to
could.
us. We love those.
I think her last name is Ferguson. It's called The Nanny. The book is called The Nanny. Okay, so it is a woman who's like kind of wanting, like, she needs money, basically. And she has an OnlyFans account. And she has this guy, I guess, who is like one of her biggest OnlyFans fans. Anyway, it ends up he becomes later her boss. She's nannying for his kid. And he was like one of her biggest OnlyFans fans. And it is so good. It is such
Does
a
he
good.
know, like, is this like, does he know it's
Well, I feel like
her?
he's gotta know.
Well, it
Remember, and
depends.
I.
I mean, I don't know if she wears a mask
Oh,
or,
you're right.
you know.
At first, he doesn't realize it, but I do think he catches on before she does, and he's like, "Oh!" And I think he like, and I'm trying to remember, but because I read it very fast, and I read it like in a fever haze. But I want to say it was like he didn't want to make her uncomfortable, so he never mentioned it. Yeah, but he never like he was never inappropriate with her or anything like that. She just kind of, but you know, they had all this sexual tension and stuff. It's really good, so. And she, the same author, wrote another book called The Fake Mate, maybe. And it's a shifter book. It's a werewolf shifter book. So that was random because I think her first one was just super contemporary. But I know Becky, pod friend Becky, recommended it on her Instagram stories. And I saw it was the same author. And I was like, that's interesting. So,
Contain multitudes.
you know,
Write a contemporary, write a
write a
shifter.
werewolf shifter. Yeah.
Yeah.
I say that I like contemporary the most, and I do. And I will read Kimberly Lemming fantasy. And I did read A Court of Thorns and Roses, but if I did have to dip out of contemporary, it'd be for paranormal. Witches, werewolves, all of that. Especially witches. I like a good witch romance.
Yeah, I do too. I feel like they got us, at least our generation, even though you are a baby, was got we got hard with the Sabrina. We got hit hard with Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Like, I was the TGIF
Yeah.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch thing.
Well, it went Sabrina the Teenage Witch, then she went on to Charmed,
Oh
and
yeah.
then like you just had a lot of them.
There was a lot in the mid, like the 90s, where it was just lots of really cool witchy things, and I was all about it, and it probably shaped a large part of my personality.
Recently, last, well, yeah, in the fall, I got super sick in my pregnancy and had to be on home rest. I was just like throwing up a lot. And I spent that entire time rewatching Melissa Joan Hart, Sabrina the Teenage Witch on Hulu from start to finish. And I was like, I couldn't stop watching it. And my dog Birdie ended up loving the Salem the cat. Anytime Salem was on TV, she was so excited about it. And now if we she sees a black cat in the neighborhood, I think she's like, it's gonna talk. And she's just like
Salem, is that
she's like
you?
staring like, those are the ones that can talk. Because she
Love
was very confused. Watches TV better than most humans. Like, she pays attention. It's very weird. And like horses, I can't tell if she loves them or hates them because she freaks out when they're on the screen. But like she will sit there and just watch a show with you. And if it's like if there's yelling, she'll like get down with her ears back. Like, I mean, she's
No.
very in tune. And so the first time I think she saw Salem talking, she was like, she tilted her head and was like making all these noises, like, what's happening? So she's just
Not supposed to have.
she's a very like animated dog. It's so funny. But yeah, so I did rewatch all Sabrina Teenage Witch and I did love it. And I didn't think I remembered liking her college years, but I loved her college years. Those were fun to watch.
I don't even know that I watched them.
I think I did, but I just remember like Friday nights and it being Sabrina the Teenage Witch and just being like beside myself with like joy for I remember like the pilot, like watching the pilot and just getting this like butterfly, like excitement feeling. I was like, oh, this is so cool.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I don't remember watching the pilot because I'm a baby. But I do remember watching with my sisters a lot. And then and I had to have seen the first episode like when it came on reruns and stuff, because it all, when I watched it on Hulu, I was like, oh yeah, all this makes, I remember every single bit of this. And I used to have a little Sabrina Teenage Witch book, because back then they would make little paperback books based off episodes. So I have one like called The Harvest Moon Dance. It's something about like, I don't know, it was a dance that she and Harvey went to together. Because I also have a Gilmore Girls little paperback book that about an episode. So it's just like, I don't know why I have those random books, but they're cool. I wish they still did that for TV shows. I don't know, it was neat. They're not that great. It's almost like they're rewriting an episode in book form.
Yeah.
And so it's not like super great, but yeah. If you're a reader, you know, and you're a kid, you're just like, oh my God, I love this show. I want to read the book, whatever. yeah. I need to find that book. I know I have it in my house somewhere.
Yeah, I know I had that. There was a mini series called The Tenth Kingdom.
I freaking loved that series.
I did too. I owned all the VHS, and then I owned it on DVD, and then I had the book of The Tenth Kingdom, which I read. And I think I might still have on my shelf. But obsessed with it. And I watched it every year after it came out, like once a year, every year for like, I don't know, 10 years after, like religiously after it came out. And then I think I tried to get my kids to watch it a while ago, and I don't think they were quite ready for it yet.
That makes me envious, because when I first saw it, it was when it came on TV. And then I think 10 years, like for the next 10 years, I couldn't remember what it was called, who was in it. I just remember there was this really magical show that I loved, and I never could find it again. And I remember there was a singing Pearl.
Yes, her engagement ring.
Yeah. Yes, her engagement ring. And Max Medina from Gilmore Girls was in it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I knew Max Medina from The Tenth Kingdom before from Gilmore Girls. Like, when I saw him on Gilmore Girls, I was like, it's Wolf.
Well, yeah, because you watched him every year. I only watched it that one time. And then in law school, I went through a kick. Every time I'd have a final season, I would get on this kick of buying random shit from Amazon I didn't need. And one year, it was all the Mary-Kate and Ashley DVDs. All of them. And every single one. And then somehow I found Tenth Kingdom. Like, I don't know if it was like a meme somebody posted. I was like, oh my God, that looks familiar. And I found it and I got the DVD. And so I was able to watch it again. And it was just as magical as it was the first time. But I just remember first watching it and being like, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
No, absolutely. 100%. In fact, that was the first time. So they, children that are listening, they used to have mini series. And then if you were like, they would have like an infomercial after the mini series, and they would offer the a VHS tape bundle. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I never asked for anything like that. But then I remember begging my mother for this. I was like, I will do anything. And in my Easter basket, Haley. I know. My Easter basket that year, I got the book, because it was like a bundle of like Tenth Kingdom stuff. It was like the book, the like it was a lot of VHS tapes. Okay. Because it's a 10-hour series. and then I think it was something else. Oh, it was a soundtrack. It was like the classical,
like the score.
Score. Yes. It was the score for the miniseries.
Yeah, the Easter Bunny hit that year.
It was like, man, and like I wore those VHS tapes out. And then I was in high school, and I think in Barnes and Nobles or something with a boyfriend at the time, and I stumbled across the DVD set of 10th Kingdom, and I was like, this is coming home with me. This is incredible. I have these VHSs. I need the DVDs.
Clearly.
And then I proceeded to watch it again, just via DVD.
Yeah, those are good.
Maybe
ones.
I'll watch it this Easter.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, and now I kind of want to go watch it again. Kristen, you should find it and watch it.
I was going to say, I feel like I definitely watched it when it came out. I definitely remember watching it when it came out, but I'm going to have to go find it because I need some of that magic.
It imprinted on me, and I don't, but not in the way it did Haley. Haley watched it every year. It just haunted me for years until I finally figured out what it was. I was like, oh my God.
I love stumbling across because, like, I wasn't sure if, like, people, like, I don't know. It just seemed like I was so obsessed with it. But then, like, when I would mention it to people, a lot of people had no idea what I was, like, talking Same. About.
Same. Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I find somebody who has, like, seen it and knows what I'm talking about, I just get really excited.
Yes. Yes.
It's another reason.
I need to make Jacob watch it. I don't know if he'd be as entertained as me, though, but we would try. He did make me watch, like, so many movies this past weekend that were all just, like, very testosterone-y. American Gangster, No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, what are you doing to me?
What a good weekend.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. He was like, let me have this, please.
I genuinely would rather watch all 10 of the Fast and Furious movies back to back than either of those movies.
Oh, man. That's a good one. That's a good dig.
Okay, but I do love the Fast and the Furious movies. Just full disclosure.
I watched maybe the first three and I never watched them again.
Once I got Ludacris in there, they had me for life. Sorry.
That's fair. That's fair.
I actually don't think I have watched any of the Ludacris. I think I was also, like, I think I did Fast and the Furious, the first three. When was Tokyo Drift?
That's the third one.
When did they drift That's in the Tokyo? One. I think that is where they lost me.
Sure. Yeah. As they should have.
Any normal human, I'm just kidding. Yeah,
I did not drift in Tokyo. I think we tried. I think I went to the theater and then, like, I have no recollection of it. I know it's the very country guy with his super Mississippi, Georgia, like very, very southern
one of them.
Accent.
I don't remember his name. I just know he was in NCIS New Orleans.
Yes.
Yes, and he was in Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the name of the movie, but I'm fairly certain he was also, as a very, very young child, in a movie about a horse, which, like, with his brother, and I think he was, like, sort of destitute, but he, like, helped take care of this horse, and then, like, they run away, and he runs away on the horse. I think I'm going to have to find that.
That's a lost movie for me.
I'm 100% sure that's him. I'm going to go Google it right now.
For a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
talk amongst yourselves while I try to find this movie.
An extra in NCIS New Orleans.
Oh, wow. Hair flip.
Literally, I can tell you what episode it was. I'm in, like, the last scene, and all you see is my ass walking away. That's it.
I mean, they knew what they were working with.
And I just remember watching it and being like, okay, Jacob, this is the episode. Because when I was in law school, they would, like, send out these casting calls and they would pay you, like, $150 a day if you just come be an extra. And I was like, I need money. So I just sat there and did homework all day until they needed me. And but I did get to meet the main character, the Quantum Leap guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, but we were watching it, me and Jacob were watching it, the episode when it aired. And I was like, I don't know where my part is. I just know this is what I was doing or whatever. And Jacob was like, there's your ass.
Amazing.
I was like, oh, that is me. But yeah, it's a very brief. They told me I had to walk down the like river walk by that casino, Harris Casino. Yeah. And I had to drop money into a guitar case of a musician, a street musician. And yeah, that was my, but they didn't even get that part. They just got me walking. My butt. It's okay.
That's so funny. Okay.
I know. I was like, I kind of wanted to be like, you know, a cadaver.
But right? I think you have to have
some credits.
Yeah, you probably need, you would have gotten your name in there. Man, I don't know. What if it was one of those big ones? Because they find some that are like huge dump sites, right?
In the episode, it was very cool. Like the very beginning had like a trolley with a dead person strapped to the front of the trolley or something. And the cosmetics was fantastic. I was like, this is interesting.
Oh, okay, man. Well,
did you find the movie?
I did not, but he was in All the Pretty Horses, so I'm not completely wrong.
Okay. Well, there was a horse movie that he was in. So.
There was a horse movie he was in. Thank you so much. Blair. He was also in Sling Blade.
He was.
Wow.
He was.
Oh, I bet he was destitute with a horse in Sling Blade.
He might have been.
I mean, if you think about it, most of them were.
He was destitute with a dog.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. So, Blair, do you have any other books?
Let me look at my list. Oh, I do have another one that's not really falling on my list, but I do need to talk about it because I'm reading it this week.
Okay.
So it's the Meet Cute short story series that just came out.
Sally Thorne?
Yes, it has Sally Thorne, Christina Lauren, Jasmine Guillory, Abby Jimenez. I know I'm missing somebody else. I can't remember. But they all have little short stories. And I've read the Christina Lauren one and Sally Thorne. And I'm in the middle of the Abby Jimenez one right now. They are so cute and they're very short. They're very short and sweet. And they're
limited release?
What do you mean? Like, will it go away?
Yes. Yeah, because some of those...
I don't know.
Like
they came out on January 23rd. I know it's all Kindle Unlimited. Like it's like a it's Amazon exclusive.
Okay, so maybe not.
But yeah, I just got them all on my Kindle and just been breezing through them because I wanted something short and sweet. And yeah, y'all should read them. They're so cute. Yeah.
The audiobook is also part of the Kindle Unlimited.
Yes, yes, yes. I listened to Sally Thorne's.
I am borrowing them all right now.
Yes, do it. They're so cute. And I love the Christina Lauren one because it's the first half of them are just like emails back and forth. And I love that kind of stuff.
I love epistolary. Mm-hmm. I love an epistolary novel.
It's so cute. It's so cute. So yes, those are all of my books that I have to recommend.
Oh my God, those sound... so good. And I now have a much bigger TBR.
Yes.
Speaking of TBRs.
I know.
It's fine. But no, I had one. So I actually had, I know you didn't give us anything that you were specifically looking for, but
I forgot about that until today.
I did tell Kristen, I was like, Blair really likes best friend's brother.
Yes.
Or because the usual one is brother's best friend.
Hold on. It's usually.
I have both, so it's okay.
It's usually. Okay, I'll tell you where this love started. So if y'all ever watched the movie with Haley Steinfeld, maybe? Edge of 17?
Oh, yes.
There's, that's very cute. Her brother and her best friend get together. And she's so pissed about it. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is cute. And so, like, that's when I first fell in love with it. And I just wanted to see it all the time. So, best friend's brother. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have a few. I have yes. Best Friend's Brother, Plot Twist by Aaron De La Rosa. She's like living in the bungalow, like the mother-in-law bungalow behind his house in California. He's like, was an actor, a childhood actor, and now he's a secret crafter online.
Oh my God.
And she's a writer. It's very cute. This one, okay, you have to just go on a journey with me. This is a guilty pleasure. Haley called me out for this one last week when we were recording. But it's the Hannaford Prep series by Jay Bree.
What's happening?
Okay. Okay, these are children. They are in high
school. I know the Prep series.
Oh, you know the Prep series?
I've never read one of them is a twin. But I know them.
One of them is a twin. It's her best friend's twin brother is one of the three boys that she gets with, and it's a lot, and they do start when they're in sophomores in high school. But when I tell you, like, I read all four books in 3.5 days, like, I could not put it down. It was okay. Shockingly readable.
When did you read these? In 2001?
Oh, no, okay. Last year.
No, she went on a like binge and was just like, can't stop, won't stop. And meanwhile, I am like, because I have children, like, and I can't recognize face. Like, I just am really, really bad at recognize like ages and faces. And I just don't know how old people are. But like, when I hear like a 15-year-old or like whatever, I'm like, oh, this is a child. It's so, like, yeah. How do you know? This is so
Here's black. The content and even the other stuff they're doing that's not the romance, it was very much older than 10th grade stuff that they're doing. Like, she's an assassin. It's like there's a mafia, like a criminal underground in this town or whatever, and they're like very politically motivated, and they have all kinds of blackmail on these like grown people. So read very much more like secret society college than 10th grade high school, and that is just what I had to tell myself to get through.
Oh, okay. Fair
Like, they're in college, no matter what they're saying, they're in college. Like, because it was very much, it older coded than high school for sure. But for Brother's Best Friend, I actually have not read this one, but I really, really am looking forward to this series by Cass O'Shire on the care and keeping of orcs.
Okay. Oh, I'm looking
so
that
the
too.
First book in the series is, I believe, about her brother, and then he's a polar bear shifter. So she is a polar bear shifter in the second series, and his best friend, her brother, is an orc. Her brother's best friend is an orc.
What?
Yes.
And it's called what?
On the Care and Keeping of Orcs. And then there is If Only You by Chloe Lise. I always stress out when I have to say her name.
I understand. But
it's part of the Bergman Brothers series. It is the most recent one to release. And it is Ziggy, who is the youngest sister of the Bergman Brothers.
Uh-huh.
And she is what, I forget his name, but he is her older brother Soren's teammate on his hockey team.
Okay. Oh, hockey. Oh, okay. I've been very into hockey romance lately.
As you should be.
Yeah. I mean, everyone, the whole world is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
but yes, that's what I had for you.
Thank you. I always know that you like the vaginismus, like, rep, or if it has
yes.
in there. And so I think I yelled at you via text about this book, but I'm going to yell at you again about it because I love it. And it's paranormal. It works. It fits. But it's Berries and Greed by Lily Maine.
Okay. I do recall this, I believe.
And okay. She very specifically comes out and, you know, and says that she has vaginismus, and she does not actually like any form of like penetrative like sex.
Totally get it.
And the guy is, this is in an alternate reality where at some point 100+ years ago, the earth did open up and a whole other race of humanoid creatures called the Demiurgus just wandered up onto the surface and started integrating into society. They are about 6 to 7 feet tall.
Jesus.
They are like obsidian skinned. They have like jewel tone, like their hair will be black, but it'll have like streaks of green or blue or purple. They've got like little like axolotl type ears, like little
sexy
ears. And like little and they have a humanoid shape where they kind of look humanoid, but then they also have like a larger 8 feet
appendage,
sort of lizard like sort of shifting form. But this book is so good when it comes to like that sort of rep. She grows up in a sex cult that worships the Demiurgus. She is raised in a cult. She does not buy into it. Her aunt does not buy into it, but they just go along with everything because it's free housing.
Fair. The things you'll do for free housing.
Right. And then Greed, G-R-E-I-D, is just, he's a super introvert. He went through a really, really bad breakup where he lost like his whole friend group plus his ex-girlfriend. He's very lonely and he's heard about this group on like the hill, and he thinks that they've just like researched Demiurgus and they're like just super into it. He does not realize it's a sex cult. So he's like, he's looking for a roommate. So he goes and he's like, I'm sure one of them would like want to like, you know, Ruby and my roommate and make him scientific things. And then he shows up and there's like frescoes of like
people getting sex cult things.
Sex cult things. And he's like, I think, I'm okay. I think of it. And everybody's like, oh no, greater being. Oh no, you must choose your mate. And he's like, I have made a mistake. And then he sees her and she sees him and she thinks he's a perv and he just wants to get out of there. And then they realize that he's like, hey, if you want to get out of the cult, you can be my roommate. Not a sexual thing. Not a sexual thing. Okay. To literally just have a big house. If you want to get on your feet, you don't want to be like, you're welcome to do that. Not a sexual thing. And she's like, okay. And then like they become friends and then it becomes something more. It's just, it's so, so good. And it's so cute. And we find out one of the main reasons why the Demiurgus and the human relationship is really not possible. I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, don't give it away.
Yeah, don't give
I
really it away.
I don't want to give it away. But you find out things and you're like, I don't know. But it's so, so good. And they do a really, really good job with that sort of representation and how like the like sex is not just PNV. You can have a very fulfilling, intimate, wonderful relationship and sexual relationship when that's not even on the table.
Yeah.
And it was really, really great and really, really well done. And they're just adorable together. And that was like a friends to lovers situation that I really, really liked.
Okay. I would definitely read that. Especially Vaginismus Rep. That's nice. And paranormal. And you know this is outside my comfort zone because he sounds like an alien. but I'm going to try.
I know. It is definitely outside your comfort zone. But I think you would really like it. And I am the weird peddler of niche romance novels in our book club. So this is me like opening my trench coat and going like, hey, Blair, I got what you need right here.
Well, you were like axolotl ears. I was like, yep, that okay.
It does. They don't mention them too much.
They don't, but they just wiggle. But they wiggle whenever he's embarrassed.
When they get nervous. They twitch their ears.
So cute. I'll give it a shot. I promise. I promise I will.
All right. Well, I think
we're about done.
Wraps this up. Is there anything specific that you want to plug? I know we were trying to think of a title, like an EGOT, because your book, What Comes After, was the first book and the only book so far that each of us has recommended independently, but at the same time.
Oh, that's cool.
So we were like, what was the shmink? It was
Left at the Altar.
Left at the Altar.
It's a good prompt. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Pregnancy sucked every creative juice out of my body. Like, I can't even look at a laptop and want to write. I'm like, what is writing? But I do have two finished manuscripts that just need to be edited. So I do have two things coming up the pipeline that just need edits. And one of them I'm really excited about. And I don't want to talk too much about it because I'm like, you know what? What if it ever comes to fruition? But it is about a weatherman and a stand-up comedian. And on a road trip to a wedding, and it's enemies to lovers, and he is the best man, and she's officiating the wedding. And they did not want to go on a road trip together. It just kind of happened that way. The groom is both of their best friend. But like she feels like she has a claim on him kind of thing because she's been his friend longer. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's one of my favorite things I've written because it is very much rom-com. There's like very low angst in it. And it's just like road trip mishaps, like stolen wallet, you know, only one bed, all that kind of stuff, trying to get to this wedding on time and bickering and all that kind of stuff. So I've just got to get it sent to an editor. And the only reason I haven't yet is because editors are expensive and I'm trying to spend money on baby things. So that's the next thing I'm going to do for myself is find my editor and get it edited so that I can, you know, get it out there. Because it was really fun to write. And I wrote it fairly fast. And and it's called Cloudy with a Chance.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. It's fun. that's one thing. But that's the only thing right now that I'm working on trying to do is get that book out.
Well, where can our listeners find you specifically?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram. I have an author account, Author Blair Lee. I also have just a regular account that I mostly post on. It's Blair Lee B. And then my website is blairleeauthor.com.
Awesome.
And I'm going to do better about newsletters and blogs, I promise. Terrible at them.
You can find us at thebusyromnivores.com, on Instagram at thebusyromnivores, and on Storygraph at the Busy Romnivores. And please let us know if you want any recommendations or have any recommendations for us. We are always open to those. All right. So until next time, Romnivores, stay hungry.
Read voraciously.
And don't forget your sunscreen.
Bye.
Bye.